bloated, sagging, and among those firm, youthful bodies, those undistorted faces, a strange and terrifying monster of middle-agedness, Linda advanced into the room, coquettishly smiling her broken and discolored smile, and rolling, as she walked, with what was meant to be a voluptuous undulation, her enormous haunches. Bernard walked beside her. "There he is," he said, pointing at the director.
"Do you think I didn't recognize him?"
Linda asked indignantly. Then, turning to the director,
"Of course I knew you, Tomakin. I should have known you anywhere among a thousand. But perhaps you've forgotten me. Don't you remember? Don't you remember, Tomakin? You're Linda."
She stood looking at him, her head on one side, still smiling, but with a smile that became progressively, in face of the director's expression of petrified disgust, less and less self-confident, that wavered and finally went out.
"Don't you remember, Tomakin?"
she repeated in a voice that trembled. Her eyes were anxious, agonized. The blotched and sagging face twitched grotesquely into the grimace of extreme grief.
"Tomakin!"
She held out her arms. Someone began to titter.
"What's the meaning," began the director, "of this monstrous Tomakin?"
She ran forward, her blanket trailing behind her, threw her arms round his neck, hid her face on his chest. A howl of laughter went up irrepressibly.
"This monstrous practical joke!"
the director shouted. Red in the face, he tried to disengage himself from her embrace. Desperately, she clung.
"But I'm Linda! I'm Linda!"
The laughter drowned her voice.
"You made me have a baby!"
she screamed above the uproar. There was a sudden and appalling hush. Eyes floated uncomfortably, not knowing where to look. The director went suddenly pale, stopped struggling and stood, his hands on her wrists, staring down at her, horrified.
"Yes, a baby, and I was its mother!"
She flung the obscenity like a challenge into the outraged silence. Then, suddenly breaking away from him, ashamed, ashamed, covered her face with her hands, sobbing.
"It wasn't my fault, Tomakin, because I always did my drill, didn't I? Didn't I? Always. I don't know how. If you knew how awful, Tomakin. But he was a comfort to me all the same."
Turning towards the door.
"John!"
she called.
"John!"
He came in at once, paused for a moment just inside the door, looked round, then soft on his moccasined feet, strode quickly across the room, fell on his knees in front of the director, and said in a clear voice,
"My father!"
The word for father was not so much obscene as, with its connotation of something at one remove from the loathsomeness and moral obliquity of childbearing, merely gross, eschatological, rather than a pornographic impropriety. The comically smutty word relieved what had become a quite intolerable tension. Laughter broke out, enormous, almost hysterical, peal after peal, as though it would never stop.
"My father! And it was the director! My father! Oh, Ford! Oh, Ford! That was really too good!"
The whooping and the roaring renewed themselves. Faces seemed on the point of disintegration. Tears were streaming. 6 more test tubes of spermatozoa were upset. "My father!" Pale, wild-eyed, the director glared about him in an agony of bewildered humiliation.
"My father!"
The laughter, which had shown signs of dying away, broke out again more loudly than ever. He put his hands over his ears and rushed out of the room.
End of Disc 4.